Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I'm going to talk to you today about I'm going to ask you a question. What have you done with the faith that God has given you? What have you done with the faith that God has given you? You know, there's a difference in having faith and growing. Are y'all with me? There's a difference in having faith. By the way, I'm going to just shock everybody and say, you know, you're in a kingdom that that fosters and introduces faith plus. Not faith plus to have Jesus, but faith plus to get to the place that you're supposed to go. How many of you, when you got born again, that your will just sort of checked out? And no, nobody? So how many of you, your will has actually been involved in your walk with God? Yes or no? Absolutely. Let me see. Say yes, Pastor, that's true. Okay. I'm on, because, you know, the Bible talks to us about that we have been given a faith. Over in Romans, I'm going to give you this passage so you can find it. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. But I'm going to just share with you a little bit about where am I today and how long have I been here? Where am I today and how long have I been here at this place of my walk with God? How long have I been here? If you've been here for a long time in your walk with God, then you got derailed. You got derailed because you shouldn't be here, wherever that is in your walk with God, just here without advancing and without going further in Him. We get derailed. We get preoccupied. We get distracted of whatever it is, you know, that's going on with us, because we should have a progressing walk with Him that is growing. Everybody say growing. Ask yourself this question: am I growing? Am I growing? Am I at the same place now that I was this time last year? Am I at the same place that I was 10 years ago? Well, if you hadn't changed in 10 years, that's a long span to be stuck. I'm at the same place I was 15 years ago. Well, you've been stuck for 15 years. I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because you don't need to be at the same place that just right when you got saved, you just don't need to be at the same place that you were then. Now, your faith in Him needs to be the same, needs to stay, right? But see, the Bible tells us that we've been given, over in Romans chapter 12, it tells us that God has given, everybody say, God has given to each one of us the measure of faith. There's not a single one of you that He has not given you the measure of faith. So what did He do? He measured the faith. He gave you a specific amount. So where did you, how did you get faith? You didn't come up with faith by yourself. You didn't. God gave you, the faith that you have, God gave you. That's true. God gave you the faith. You could not, but the Bible says that you cannot come to Jesus unless the Father, right? Why? Because you just, you know, people say, well, I'll just get saved whenever I want to. No, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. Unless you're drawn, you just, then you're doing it and not Him. But He's given you faith. We need to understand right off the get-go that the faith that you have is a gift from God given to you and I. Yeah. That's what He said. He has given to each one of us the measure. There's a measure, a specific amount of faith that he has given to each person, to each one of us. So you can't fabricate your own faith. It's something that he's given you. Shake your head this way. It's something that he's given you. So what have we done with the faith that he has given us? What have we done with the faith that he has given us? If we've been given the measure, a specific amount, to each one of us, it is a gift from God. I'll tell you what, over in Ephesians 2, you can flip that real quick. Put your finger in 2 Peter 1, but go to Ephesians 2. And see, you did not have the ability to have faith in God without the faith that God gave you. You did not have the ability to love God without the love that God gave you. The reason you can love God today is because you're loving him with the love that he's given you. I'm telling you it's true. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. The grace, the empowerment of God that's unmerited. You didn't deserve it. But the empowerment of God, divine power of God, saved us through faith. Everybody say, through faith. And then he goes on and says, not of yourselves. Not of yourself. It didn't come. It did not come from you. It came from him. He gave you the faith to believe in him. By grace, you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about faith. It is the gift of God. Why do I know that? Not as a result of works. You didn't work this up and get saved. You didn't say, I'm gonna make this thing called faith. I'm gonna create it myself, and I'm gonna accept God the way I want to accept God. No, there's just one way to accept God, and that's with the faith that he's given you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no man should boast, that no man may boast. If you can boast about you saving yourself, you have a false boast. By the way, let's just go here. It's already challenging already, but let's just make it a little bit more challenging. You know, the Bible says over in James, he says that a man says he has faith and he has not works. Pause. Thank you, Lord, for turning that air conditioning off. Whatever it is, just at that moment. Can a man, man says he has faith and has not works. He asks this question, can this faith save him? What's the answer? Nope. What use is it, my brother? A man says that he has faith, but he has no works. Can that faith save him? What's the answer to that question? No. So it's possible for you to say that you have faith and not be saved. Why? Because he said the faith that God gives is the faith that has works. It's the faith that has something that is actively doing something with him, not for him, but with him. Because we are co-laborers. You know, I told you about that time the prophet looked at me and he said, Lord wants me to tell you something. I said, what's that? And he said, he wants to tell you you're fired. Well, that just upset my little apple cart. I said, I'm going to have to come in and resign the church because the prophet's done told me I'm fired. Well, if God fired me, you sure don't need a fired preacher that God fired, right? So I said, okay, well, you know, what I need to do? He said, he's fired you from working for him, and he's brought you in, he's hired you back to work with him. Not working for him, but working for him means I'm indebted. But see, he says, no, I've taken care of your debt. I've taken care of your debt. I've taken care of your sin. I've taken care of... Listen, there's a song out. Charlie, we need to look at this song. It says, how many of you have heard the song that says, If I Told My Story? Y'all heard, yeah, have y'all heard that one? There's a line in that said, that, huh? Does he come to New York and eat chicken? That's the name of the group, I know. But see, there's a line in there that said, and the first time I heard it was the other day, really, and a line in there that made me cry. It says, justice was served. When it came to me, justice was served, but mercy won. I'm like, God, that is me. Justice, why was justice served? Because the Son died. Justice was served. Because he gave his blood, he gave his life, he gave his back, he gave his head, he gave his feet, justice was served for my sin, but mercy won. How many of you can just shout amen that that's the truth? Oh, justice, God is a just God. God didn't say, well, I know, but we're not going to deal. No, he'll deal with that. He dealt with every one of your sins, past, present, future, he paid for them all. Justice was served, but mercy won. Mercy triumphs. Oh, good gracious, a lot. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. We need to learn that song, Charlie. We really do. We'll get there. He says, not of works by that we should boast. For we are his workmanship. Watch this. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. And he gives a reason why. For good works. Amen. You created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the reason he gave you grace. And that's the reason he gave you faith. So you could actually do the works that he has created you to do. Now watch this. He didn't stop with that. You are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. God actually prepared your work before you, beforehand. He said, which God prepared beforehand. All the works that you're going to do, God prepared them beforehand. So the works that you have to do, he's already prepared that work. He just wants you and I to walk it out by faith that he gave us. The faith that he gave us is able to walk out the works that he prepared for us. And he said, at the end, he says, so that we would walk in them. So all of our, listen, what did he say? All you got to do is walk. He's prepared to work. He's created you in Christ Jesus. You're his work. You're his craftsmanship. You're his workmanship. He's created works before you was ever born. He's already created the work that you're supposed to be doing. Already done it. Already prepared it for you. And he's given you the grace and empowerment to be able to do it. And he's given you the faith to walk it out. He said, all you got to do is just walk it out. Walk out what he's already done. Isn't that awesome? No, you mean I don't have to create it? No, you don't have to create it. He's already created it. Just go along with the creator. We have some wonderful creative people in here, but I've got news for you. You know why you're creative? Because God gave you the creativity. Some of you, great musicians, Charlie and Billy, great singers. Why is that? Because he's already created that for you. He's already done that work. You're just following him doing it. Why? Because he's given you the grace. He's empowered you to be able to do it. And he just wants you to walk with him by faith, through faith. He just wants you to say, yeah, I agree with that. Here we go. And we're just going to walk with him. I mean, I love that part. He said, God's created you for good works. He didn't create you to have terrible, terrible times, even though we have terrible times. Even though we go through valleys, we go through deserts, we go through all. He created you to have good works. Even when you're going through the terrible times, even when you're going through the deserts, even when you're on the mountaintop, even when you don't even know where the next dollar is coming from. He said, I've got good works for you to do, so get to doing them. So here's the question at the opening. He's given you the faith. What have you done with it? He's given you the faith. He's given you the measure that you're supposed to have. to go do what you're supposed to go do. And he's empowered you with the grace, the divine empowerment. I mean, let's think about it. You know, he's done all this according to his riches. And he didn't do it according to my bank account. Thank God. I know. You know, somebody said, well, so I heard somebody say one time, he said, well, you know, if I was to light out walking in accordance to my bank account, I wouldn't get out the door. But according to his riches and glory, you can go anywhere you want. Why? Because it's limitless for him. By grace, you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. You didn't come up with this yourself. He gave it to you. It's a gift of God. It's not because you've worked. Lest any man should boast, look what I did. No, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared. He has worked this work before you were ever born. He says that you may walk in them. He's got good works for you and I to do. We just got to have faith to be able to see what it is. But we're going to get to that place. We have a reality that's called faith, and it's in us, and it's given to us by God. Do you know it's possible to have faith in God and not be connected with your destiny? You know, it's possible to have faith in God as your Savior and not ever do anything he asks you to do because you haven't had faith in him as the Lord of your life. You have faith in God to be born again and yet still sit and wait on him to come get you in the rapture. See, that's not his way. His way is you and I, for you and I to be able to do the works that he's already prepared for you beforehand so you can have faith in what he's doing and connect with him doing that work that he's already laid it out for you. And walk in them by faith. We need to be able to do what he wants us to do. But we won't be able to do that unless we see that it's his power in us that's doing it. I think another line in that song, Charlie, was this. It says, you know, if I was to tell you of my life, I would just be talking about him. I would be telling you about my life, but it wouldn't be my life I'm telling you about. I'd be telling you about his. I'm telling you, it's all about him. He's empowered you. He's graced you. He's given you the faith. All he wants us to do is walk in those things to be able to accomplish what he says we can accomplish. Amen. Did y'all find 2 Peter? Let's see if we can go there. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. To those, watch this. To those, what does your Bible say? To those who have what? Received. Now, you didn't create it. Who have received what? Faith. Right there it is, black and white. Who have received. You received it from God. Who have received faith. He said, I'm talking to you as a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received faith as the same kind of ours, as ours. And he says, we've received it by the righteousness of our God. It is because of his righteousness that we've actually received faith. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. How does grace and peace get multiplied to you? Go ahead and read the rest of it. Because of your knowledge, of your growing knowledge. Now, I just want more of it. Well, how much have you, listen, you didn't check your will out. Your will has been walking with you the whole time you've been walking with God. What did Jesus say at the garden? Not my will. Why? Because his will was still there. Not my will, be done, but yours. Not my will. Dealing with the will. Why? Because will is part of your soul, and it has to come under the influence and come under the guidance of faith in God. Not my will be done. He goes on and he says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, in knowing him, in getting intimately close to him, God, and of Jesus, our Lord. Get intimately close to him, God, and Jesus as Lord, as the one who has things he wants you to go and do. He'll never send you anywhere to do anything without giving you the power to do it and giving you the faith to be able to walk it out. We just have to agree with what he's given. Or we can say, nah, I just don't think we can do that. Well, guess what? We just got out of the thing of what God's telling us. We've got out of the thing, God hadn't given us power to do it. And number two, God, I don't have the faith for that. Well, he's given you the faith for it. He's asking you for it. He's already given you the faith to go do that. That's the truth. He says this. He said, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Now, that's a mouthful. Well, seeing that divine power he's granted us, his power has granted to us everybody say everything. His divine power, here's this gracing again, and he's graced us with his divine power. That's grace. He's given us his divine power. And what did he say? With the divine power, what is it that we get? He has granted to us, say everything. Everything. Say everything. Everything. Say, I mean everything. 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 Everything pertaining to life, everything pertaining to your life, he's already given you he's granted you the power to be able to work through it, work it out, and overcome, or whatever it is he wants us to do. Everything pertaining to your life, he says, I've already granted you the power to be able to do that. What does he say? I've given it to you. I've given it to you. See, the law tries to make you earn it. You're not good enough yet. You hadn't done enough yet. You hadn't read enough yet. You hadn't prayed enough yet. And you need to read and you need to pray. But I'm telling you, if you're measuring yourself by how much you do here, when he says, I've already given this to you, and all you got to do is follow me. I will empower you in doing what you need to do. He said, by the divine power, everybody say divine power. He has granted us everything pertaining to life, and not just to that, but to God of godliness. How so? Through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and by his own excellence. You want the measuring stick? It's Jesus. You want to see where the standard is? It's Jesus. He called you by what standard? Him. What standard of glory? What standard of character has he called you? His. What standard of excellence has he called you? By his. It's not by a denomination. You can't go and look at a denomination and say, well, you know, according to the denomination, I'm it. Well, it ain't much, if that's the measure. According to my church, I'm pretty high up on the ladder. Well, that's a short ladder. Have you ever been on a short ladder and you needed to go a long way? No, see, the standard is him. He said it's according to his character, his glory, and it's according to his excellence that he's called you by. The measurement is his. That's the reason that we are consistently going into the place of becoming more and more and more and more what? Like Jesus, because we haven't reached in our behavior. We have the full, nobody got a little Holy Spirit and nobody got a little Jesus. We got the same amount, the little haven. I'm telling you, Little Haven has the very resurrection power of God in her life right now. She does not have a little Holy Spirit. She does not have a little Jesus. She does not have a little God operating inside. She has the fullness of God operating in that little 7-year-old girl. And what is he doing? What is God doing? Grooming her, teaching her through his parents, through kids' church, through the nursery. Are you with me? Why? God just surrounding her because he's already what? He's already fixed the work that she's supposed to do already beforehand, and she will discover by faith what it is that she's supposed to go do. That's the truth. And she'll be able to fulfill it because of the power, the great power of Jesus, the divine power of Jesus already operating in her. Somebody may say, well, you know, she's just 7. She's real, you know, she's not really matured yet. And you know, we can be 50 and 60 and say the same thing. Well, just because you're 66 don't mean you mature in him. It means you're getting older. Notice I didn't say old. You may be generational, which means you're getting older, but you're not old. Mama Milam said the other day she is 90 years old. Isn't that what she said? 90 years. She's not old. She's getting older. She's seasoned, right? So the thing is, how much are we going to walk by faith? I mean, of course, the thing, God's got works for you to do already. He's already planned for them. He's already planned. Your job is to study. Get as close to him in your study, learning more about him. Let having people pour into your life, teaching you what they know, and you understanding authority and you understanding how God is working through people. Be hungry to hear what he has to say to you. Talk to him. He said, I'm starving to hear it. I'm hungry. I want to hear. I don't want another service. I don't want another message. I want him. I want to hear him talk to me personally. Right? See, God's got a great work for you. And you're going to be able to accomplish that. Fullness of destiny. But see, you can have faith and never be in cooperation with your destiny. I see it all the time. I see people that have faith in Jesus, but I don't see them connected to their destiny at all. Don't even know what their destiny is. There's a reason for that. You want to know what it is? I would say come back next week, but I better go ahead and tell you. Watch this. He said he's granted through the knowledge. He said, for by these he has granted to us his precious, magnificent promises. His promises are precious and magnificent. He said, by these, by what? You receive faith, that's one. You receive grace, that's two. You was granted power to live the life, that's three. He said, by these, he has granted to you his precious promises. Now, connected to these are precious promises and magnificent promises. In order that by them, by what? His promises. By them, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, it does not say that you might be saved. We want to look at that and say, well, you could be a partaker of, no, he's already in you. He won't, but this thing about partaking of his divine nature is for you and I to be able to act divinely. Be able to do the things he wants us to do through the grace and the faith. It's not about being born again. Being a partaker, we're already a partaker. Amen? See, he says, by these promises, I'm giving you promises so you can partake in the divineness of my nature. You know, and because you've escaped the corruption of the world and by lust. Now he says this, verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, he says, now, for this very reason, all the reasons he gave, he said, for this very reason, here's what you're supposed to do. Be diligent. Everybody say, be diligent. I mean, be passionate about this thing. Don't be flippant. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be half-minded. Be diligent. That's what he's saying. Be diligent. Be very passionate about what he said I'm about to tell you. Be passionate. And then he says, add to your faith. Everybody say the word add. Say, add to my faith. See, it's not just about having faith. It's having the addition to your faith as well. Why is that important? Well, he goes on and tells you. What does he tell us? He said, in addition, add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. That virtue means valor. He says, add to your faith, and the valor means courage in the presence of danger. He's telling Christians, add to your faith a courage that takes a stand even in the presence of danger or persecution. That's exactly what the first church had. In the presence of danger, they added to their faith a courage. So he says, add to it. So we need to add to our faith courage, valor, because persecution's coming. Difficult times are coming. Difficult times are around the corner. Don't say they're not. I know they are. Great times. Listen, but it's some of the greatest times we'll ever see. When it gets darker, that's when the light's going to shine brighter. I don't focus on the darkness. We focus on the light to arise and to shine. Why do we need to arise and shine? Because he said, I've empowered you to do that. So get up. I've given you the power. Just have faith in what I've given you and get up and go to shining. Get up. He says, so add to your faith. This word add is made up in the Greek, the tenses of the verb. When it says add, it means do it now. Everybody say, do it now. He didn't say postpone it. Think about it. Meditate. No, he said, do this now. Do it now. The presence of this, he said, do this thing now. Don't wait about it. Don't wait. Well, I wonder if I get a couple of books to read. No, do it now. Do this thing now. And it's a passive, it's part of the passive thing, which means the subject is acted upon by an outside source. In other words, you and I have been acted upon by an outside source. The outside source is Jesus. He said, do it now according to what he's already put in you. Okay, it probably didn't go anywhere, but it resonated with me. Do it now. Do it now. Everybody say, do it now. Do it now according to the power that he's already put in you. He's given you the things you need to do. He's given you the power you need to do it with. He's given you the faith that you need to trust him with. He said, do it now. He said, don't put this thing off. Be passionate about this. Do this thing now. Do it now. Add to this moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge. And add to, see, this is something that you and I have to add. But we're adding what he's already given. You don't have to go find it. You already have it. Just connect with it. And by faith, you'll be able to do it and walk it out. I'm just preaching myself happy, you know, but that's fine. I'm getting so much out of this. I might be raptured before the bell rings. Add to your knowledge, self-control. Add to your knowledge, and self-control, temperance. What does that mean? Said, you ever seen that little cartoon? It says, if I do it, I get a whipping. I do it anyway. See, y'all with me? So it's like, now I'm showing my generationalism here, but anyway. You know, so add to it self-control. What does that mean? Others can do that. But that's not for me. You know how you can do that? You can be around somebody that's just gossiping about somebody. I mean, just laying it out there thick and heavy. And all you got to do is say, I'm in. What are you? Yeah, let me give you my part. Or you can say, nope, I don't need to be a part of that. You don't have to be self-righteous about it. You just have to be humble about it and say, you know, I can't participate. I remember going to a church and sitting down with the leaders and they were talking and said, I mean, right off the get-go, they're saying, you know, the previous pastor, you know, Pastor Roger, da-da-da-da, and I said, hold on a second. Now, you can meet with me and you can question me and talk about me, but you can't talk about him because he ain't here. If you want to talk about him, I'll call him. And when we call him, we'll invite him here, and then you can say anything you want to about him, because he'll be here. No. I just want to say this. And I said, no, I've already said what needs to be said. I don't want that. I didn't come here to talk about my previous pastor. Now, you can say something good about him, and I'll say, hey, that's great. That's good. But I don't want to hear this other stuff. Well, guess what happened to the conversation? It's a lot. Went downhill. It's like, what do y'all want to talk about next? Then it got to saying, then I said, you know, I know when he was over there, not talking about him, but when he was over there, it was like all the musical instruments that you had drums and you had this. And they said, well, I'm sure it's not like that now. No, I said, it's not. It's worse. We got saxophones, we got congos, we've expanded. That ended that conversation, so it's like, you know. Y'all getting anything out of this? Why? He said, oh, it's your choice. It's your choice. You can choose to add to it. You can choose to add to it by the flesh, or you can choose to add to it by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. Why? He said, add to this thing about self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. In other words, it's going to get tough. You need some endurance. Add to this. Add to that the godliness. He said, in your godliness, add brotherly kindness. Boy, I tell you what, we really need some brotherly kindness. I'm not talking about church kindness. I'm talking about brotherly kindness. Well, I'll be kind to you if you go to this church. Well, that's not what he said. He said brotherly kindness. It doesn't matter whether they go to this church, that church, or whatever church. And by the way, let me say this. I understand that there is a turmoil going on in this county concerning the church next to us. I've got news for you. You can either join, listen, you can either join in and or you can say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to seek his face concerning it. Are y'all hearing me? There's people. Everybody say people. People. There's people that is there that love God. We need to be an interceding people. Standing in the gap and making sure that what happens is what God wants to happen. Are you hearing me? I've been around some since this thing started, and some pastor said, well, what? And I said, you live? And I said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, but I'll pray with you about it. I said, I don't know enough to talk about it, but I can pray with you about it. Would you read the paper? And I said, no, but I read the Bible. Now, I have read some articles. I'm not going to deny that. I have read some articles. But what do we need to do? We don't need to say, oh, my, oh, my. Oh. We need to say, oh, God. God, we need help. There's people there. We need to see God move. Somebody asked me, said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what if God started a revival in those doors? Well, I wouldn't go. And I said, therein lies the problem. Because I qualified it by saying what? I didn't say what if man. I said, what if God was to move hearts and touch hearts so much that a countywide revival exploded out of that place and it be exactly what God wanted? You know, listen, God will mess with you. God will absolutely, the thing you think he will not do, he will not use. He ain't no way he can ever use a donkey to talk. All right, behave yourself. I see you. Now listen, what if God? That's the reason you better stay close to him. Better stay close to him. Are you with me? I'm telling you, God's got a stirring that he wants to do, and I'm halfway through the message, and I'm already out of time. hey, if we wait long enough, all the snow will be gone. You won't have to worry about it being on the roads anymore. Let's look at this and we'll go. Brotherly kindness, add to that love. Watch this. He says, for if these qualities, here it is, if these qualities are yours, be in you and are increasing. What qualities? The qualities that you added to your faith. These are things that you're adding to your faith. That's what the Bible says. Do it now, because he's already done it in you. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful. Another translation says, you will not be complacent or lazy. He said, if these qualities be, if you have added these, Corey, these are the things you need to look. You need to look and see what this, see what does it mean to have self-control? What does it mean? Study the Bible and understand it. And then say, oh, that's already in me. Now I can do that because I can understand what it is. He said, you will not be useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he who lacks, these things, he ain't talking about lacking faith. He's talking about lacking these things that you're supposed to be adding. He that lacks these things, my Bible says, he's blind. Even though he's got faith, he's blind. Are y'all hearing this? Even though he's got faith, he's blind. And he's short-sighted. He can't see afar off. You know what he cannot see? He cannot see his destiny if it's right in front of him. Why? Because he has not added these things to his faith. That's already in him. You don't have to create them. Discover. He said, if these things are not in you, you're blind, short-sighted, and you have forgotten that he has purified you from all your sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent and make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Everybody say, never stumble. Never. You will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance of the eternal kingdom of our Lord is abundantly opened and supplied to you. I want to read that. I want to read that verse out of the Message, our new Living Bible translation. Listen, our Living Bible paraphrase. Listen to this. So, brethren, God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into his eternal kingdom. He says, add these things. Go to adding these things and start practicing these things along with him, letting him do this work in you. He said, the gates of heaven will swing wide open to his kingdom. What does that mean? You just have access to get what's in the kingdom, lay hold to it, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here, you reach and get what's there and make it happen here. No, I just want to do that and show off my anointing. Well, that ain't going to last long. That'd be like that short ladder. It won't last long. Message says this. Everything that goes to life in pleasing God, he has miraculously given you. The best invitation you've ever received. That is the truth. He's also given you terrific promises to pass on. It's your ticket to participate with him. Don't lose a minute in adding these things and complementing your basic faith. These are qualities that are actively growing you up to be like him. The day will not pass without its reward as you mature. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right in front of you. It'll be oblivious to you. I'm gonna read something out of the. Wasn't able to print this off. I need my computer, and this will be the last passage I share with you. Don't get stuck on one translation. The translators of the KJV in the preface said this: one would be wise to read other translations. One would be wise to read other translations to get the fullness of the meaning of passages of Scripture. So the translators of the KJV, they wrote that in their preface. I said, look, hey, you need to understand. You need to read more than just this one. I won't say anything else about that. It's pretty plain. Listen to this. Devote yourself with lavish addition to your faith with goodness. Listen to this. Since these virtues are already planted deep within you, you possess them with abundant supply. They will keep you from being inactive and fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus. If anyone lacks these, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting the innocence that he's made us with the sins being washed away. For this reason, beloved, be eager to confirm and validate that God has invited you to salvation and claimed you as his very own. And as you do these things, as you practice these things, remember, as you practice these things, watch this. As you do these things, you will never stumble. And as a result, the kingdom's gates will open wide to you as God choreographs your triumphant entry into his eternal kingdom. Well, I'm reading that and listening to that, and I said, God's got a choreograph going on. Somebody said, well, I believe in dancing, but I don't believe in choreographing. And I said, well, do you believe in music? Yeah. I said, well, do you believe in practice? That's choreographing. Anyway, let's get over it. That's rehearsing. So here we go again. Stand to your feet. Listen to this. He said, If you add this, he said, I will add to you. And what will he add to you? He said, I'm about to swing open the kingdom's gates, the doors. I'm about to swing them open, wide open. And he said, and as I swing them wide open, I'm going to be choreographing your triumphant entry. I'm going to making sure every move is made, everything is done, and it's done right the way God has choreographed it to be done. How does that happen? Be diligent about adding to your faith what he said to add to it. Because if you don't, you can have faith and be blind. You can have faith and be short-sighted because there's been no addition to your faith as he said to do. So I would get busy. I need to get busy, don't you? We need to get busy. He said, do it now. Don't put it off. Do it now. Find out about this list. What is it? Understand God and go to doing it. Okay. Is that it? Get it done. Get it done. All right. All right. Do y'all get anything out of this? Yeah. Listen, God is. Yeah. We're going to be a people that when they see us walk by, they're going to see God. They're not going to say, well, you know, I know them people. They belong to Father's Vineyard. No, it's not about being Father's Vineyard. It's not about being charismatic. Not about being bad. It's not about doing. Don't do any of that. It's about following him and being like him and showing forth who he is. Amen. 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 Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the justice that happened. But God, we thank you that your mercy, overcame and it won. So Father, you have put us to the task here. You have opened up the scriptures and you have shown us that we need to go We need to have our faith, and we need to add to our faith these things so that we will not be complacent nor lazy. We will not be unfruitful, but we would be a people that you will begin to open the door wide open and begin to choreograph the grand entrance of us doing your work. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.